I am 58 years old. Today is July 22nd, 2020. I'm in Moscow, Idaho, and I'm here today with my mother, Claudette Barnes, and we're going to see what she has to say today.
So my name is Claudette Barnes, and I'm 80 years old. Today is July 22nd, 2020, and my location is Moscow, Idaho, and my son, Greg Barnes, is going to be interviewing me, and I think that's it.
Ready to get going?
I guess we are ready.
Well, Mom, this is kind of a special time for us, kind of have our own little get-together, a little one-on-one. I know we've had lots of conversations over the years about your life, and you've shared some, and I'd just like to hear some more, ask you some questions about what it was like in your life, and so if that's okay, I think I'll get started.
Okay, I'm ready.
All right. Well, just tell me, you were born in Oklahoma, in a little town called Luther. Yeah. Can you tell me a little bit what it was like growing up in Oklahoma? And that was you were born in 1939, so that would have basically been in the 40s and 50s. So.
Well, I think it was probably pretty normal what my first 10 years were. I basically lived with my grandmother, my mother's mother, and she had a daughter late in age, and she would become something like my little sister. And we lived on a little 168-acre farm. So we were pretty well farm girls and had all kinds of animals around us. And looking at our children today, most of them haven't ever seen some of those animals that I grew up with. So I feel fortunate that I was in that period.
Did you have a favorite farm animal or pet at that time?
We had a pet rooster, and he followed us around, and his name was Cheepy. He really belonged to my aunt, whose name was Sarah, but he followed us around, and we had our play areas on the farm that we'd go to, and he'd sometimes follow us there, but he was quite the chicken.
Hmm. And was there any time, a particular memory or event that when you were younger, maybe in your grade school or early, you know, junior high or whatever you want to call it, days that stood out to you, something that was just really memorable for you?
Yes. We had a young man when I was, I think, probably in about the fourth grade that was on a trip with the school, and he fell into the river and drowned. Mm-hmm. And that still is pretty in my mind. So that was probably the one that stands out even today.
You knew the young people.
Yes. Yeah. He was a grade ahead of me. It was a school function. And so that wasn't pleasant.
You were there when he fell in the river, mm-hmm. Actually. That would be really hard. That would be hard to process.
Several tried. There was a whirlpool or something that couldn't get him out.
And you still think about that today sometimes?
Yes, sometimes. It's not forever on my mind. When you ask questions like that, that comes to my mind.
Yeah, that's so great. I mean, I don't know that I've ever heard
that.
That's
kind of come to me.
Yeah. So you also said you lived on the farm with your mom and your grandma and your aunt. Mm-hmm. You didn't mention your father. What was your father like?
My dad was unfortunately addicted to alcohol and drugs. And so the first 13 years I lived with my folks off and on, but mostly I stayed with my grandma because our house was always pretty unsettled because Dad, he would come and go and so forth like that. So looking back, I was too young to really know how to help him. We've got so many ways to help our folks nowadays, but so that was real unnerving as a young girl. But thankfully I had my grandma and she always had room for me, and that's where basically I grew up, was on the farm.
Now your dad was not only an addict, but he was also a gambler, right?
He was a gambler, which all that kind of goes together, it seems like. Yes, he was a gambler. One, I guess I could tell one story. We just bought a new house in this little community in Oklahoma, just outside of Oklahoma City. And he come in one night and had this little bulldog. She was a thoroughbred. And that's not what it is, not a thoroughbred dog.
Well, it's purebred.
Purebred. Mm-hmm. Okay. And she was an English bulldog and real, real sweet. You know, she had all the wrinkles and her legs were spread out. Anyhow, Dad had won her in a poker game. So.
What was her name? Did you name it?
You know, we named her Princess Diamond Jill. And that was just before my mom and dad separated. So I, after that, not too long after that, I went back to the farm with and took my Princess Diamond Jill with me. And she stayed there on the farm with me. Someone had come up in the driveway and hit her and killed her. Mm-hmm. So that was hard.
Mm-hmm. And did your dad also won something else? I think I remember this story.
I don't remember the event of him bringing the coat. He won a fur coat. And that was back in the days when it was real fur. It was a mink. I remember this girl. Not the value or anything, but anyhow.
Then that was, went to your mom.
Yeah, that went to mom. I don't think he ever took her anywhere to wear it, but at least she had fur coat.
Huh. So. That one time she probably had something that she probably couldn't buy. Now another thing that happened when you were a teenager, so this is still in Oklahoma, right? You mentioned that you got a chance to do some modeling as a teenager. Well,
that was a one-time stand for would have been my junior year. I went to Oklahoma City to work for the summer, and I got on, I'm sorry, my mask is just not staying up. Anyhow, I got a job at Montgomery Ward as an elevator operator, and that was in the days when the little gal stood at the door and opened, said, "Going up, please, going up." That was the old
down,
days.
Going up, going, and push the buttons.
Yeah, I operated the
elevator.
Mm-hmm. And anyhow, I don't know how come they come to ask me, but they were, that was back in the 50s, of course, and they wanted me to be in one of their advertisements for Montgomery Wards locally. In the city there, and wanted me to wear one of their bathing suits and just dive into the pool. There was other people posted around the pool, and just like a regular someone going swimming. And so that's what I did. I went up and...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
I just jumped. I was a swimmer. I'd swim quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And had dove off the boards before. So that's all that I did. And it was on TV. Huh. So it was popular there for a day.
That was your 15 minutes and seconds of fame.
Yeah.
All right. So you met Dad when you were young.
We went to schools together in our little hometown of Luther. Probably I met him. He was a year older. And the head of the class 1 year ahead of me. And probably between our third and fourth grades, we met. Uh-huh. And it was a small school, so everybody knew everybody. And then this, other than just knowing each other, it was the summer of or the school year of my junior year that we started going together, which was in February, I believe, was the time. Just faded.
So you're kind of school children, but friends, and then and as you got older in teen years, you guys started sparking a little bit.
He asked me for a date, and that seemed to be it. We were married the next that August. So
yeah, and that was that shortly after, or after he started dating, then his dad.
He died the year before.
His dad died the year before. Okay, but then that prompted the Barnes side of the family to move from Oklahoma to Idaho so they could work.
Yes. Right?
Find work.
Her voice. My husband's had a younger brother. He was a year younger than me, actually. And my husband at that, before we got married, he had a chance, his uncle and had a pole. It's the poles that they put like for electricity and stuff.
Yeah, for telephone.
Cedar poles. Yeah, his cedar uncle poles. Had a cedar pole operation, and he wanted Neil to come up and work for him for the summer. And that's that had been their plans. They were just going to go up, and they left their house and stuff, you know, just to go up and work for the summer. And I was going, we had made plans even at that time to marry the next year, because I still had a year of schooling, and I was a junior, and they came up for the summer, and my husband fell in love with Idaho and with the woods. And so at that time, you had the other question about how did I come to get to Idaho? Mm-hmm. Well, that Neil called me. I was working in a little restaurant there in Luther, and I got a phone call from Idaho, and Neil called me and asked me if I'd marry him, just on the spot like that. Of course, I said sure. And
you were how old?
I was 16. That was.
You said sure.
No. Oh, wait. I was sure. I hadn't asked Grandma or anything. Of course, I pretty well was doing what I wanted to by that age. And got to Idaho, and we got married. Neil and his mom and them lived in the pole camp, where his uncle supplied housing for us, and for them at that time. Anyhow, I got up here and stayed with his mom in one of these little shacks that his uncle made him for his operation, and stayed with her. And then we got married in August, and I found a job at Durant's grocery store
in Pierce, Idaho.
In Pierce, yeah, this was it. We went to Pierce and got married in August, and then we were in the woods for 12 years before we moved to Lewiston. I skipped over your question.
Oh, that's okay. So
I'll make it a little faster.
That's fine. Well, what was living in logging camps like, especially as teenage newlyweds?
Oh, you know, we really didn't know. It was changed too much, because we were from poor folks. So we never had a lot of money to, you know, do a lot of things that most, maybe not most kids, but some kids do. But to live in the pole camps, we did a lot of playing of cards, played cards a lot. And then that same summer, my husband's older brother got out of the service, and he moved up to work in the camp too. And so he was there, and I don't really remember what else we did other than play cards.
Work and play cards.
Yeah, that was about it. Well, and they fished. I mean, we had, you know, fishing places all around us, and they'd go fishing on the weekends and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'd stay and bake cookies.
So you didn't finish high school before you went to, or moved to Idaho and got married. But you wanted to go back and finish school, but you couldn't, right? Or you ended up, that ended up getting,
no, well,
plans got put aside again, right?
Yeah. I had planned on, we were married almost a year before I decided I wanted to go back and finish my senior year there in Pierce. But I became pregnant with your sister. So that put a stop to that.
So you became a mom and school was not really an option. High school wasn't. So. But you did eventually get your GED, right?
I did. I got my GED back when I was probably, about 15 years later. I just was working and decided I'd go. We had moved to Lewiston so that anyhow, I was able to go to do my GED there at the LCSC college. So I did eventually get my degree, which I was proud of. That was really important to me to say that I got a GED at least. So
my memories of living in Pierce are, because I was still pretty, I was pretty young at that time. But one of the, we moved back and forth a lot between Lewiston and Pierce, it seemed. And then, but the last place we lived was in a little town outside of Headquarters, Idaho, which is a big, basically a lot, little logging community at that time, was a little logging community. And we lived in a place called Dog Patch, a little hollow, down in a little hollow. Mm-hmm. And that's where I have some of my fondest memories. How did we end up there?
Well, as you were saying, the logging business, it was seasonal. So we would move from Lewiston, where my uncle, who my husband worked for, he also built houses and stuff. So we went down there, and in the winter, and they would build a house, usually one house or something. And then we moved back up in the spring when the logging started up again. But we moved from a place, it gets complicated, we moved so much. I'll just say, when we moved to Dog Patch, Dad was working for a logger, a genuine logger. He was run a quick way and logged the logs onto the trucks to get them out of the woods. Mm-hmm. And it was good. It was, the day we moved in, we all four, who included my daughter and my husband, of course, and Greg and I, laid down and we slept most of the afternoon. It was so quiet down there. It was Sleepy mm-hmm. Hollow, really, is what it was. Mm-hmm. But it was pleasant, and I didn't mind it. That's about all I knew, you know.
You didn't know anything.
I didn't know much anything different.
No. And that was a real house, not just a cabin on.
Yeah.
On poles and stones and stuff.
Electricity and indoor plumbing.
Yeah, I have a lot of fond memories. And one of the ones that is kind of always sticks out to me is I was probably 7 or 8 years old. I think it was in wintertime or getting close to wintertime, or maybe at the end of wintertime, when I was out walking with the dog we had, Cassius, mm-hmm. and I ended up going on the hillside in timber and kind of getting lost. It was getting late in the day. Do you remember that?
Yeah, it scared me to death. Because just before that incident with you, our pastor's son had been out hunting and fell into a tree some way and choked him to death. And that was, he was 16. And just the fact that Greg was out, you know, like that, and it was getting dark, kind of startling. And here, pretty soon, here he and Cassius came around the back of the house. And I was very thankful.
Were you like hollering and trying to find me? And
yeah, we all.
And Dad wasn't around at that time. Or he wasn't around the house.
No, he wasn't. Kim was there. And we went up back. There was a railroad track behind the house. And we went up there. But I was about ready to, I don't think I had a car at that time. Dad had the car. But anyhow, you did finally show up, and you and Cassius.
I remember that.
And I think he kind of directed
the dog kind of led me back to the house. Mm-hmm. I remember that. Yeah. I found my way to the railroad tracks, and I don't ever remember getting really scared. I mean, I remember getting kind of, it's getting dark and I'm not sure I know where I am, but the dog kind of led me to the railroad tracks, and then I was able to find my way back.
Yeah, I wasn't. You didn't act like you were scared much.
Then I got angry. Probably didn't know but any bears. So yeah. So, well, we eventually ended up moving to Lewiston pretty much permanently in the 1970 or something like that. I think
71.
Was that a positive thing for you? Was it a good thing? Was it a transition of settling in the big city?
Exciting.
Yeah.
You know, I don't remember that feeling at this time, but it was good because we moved into a nice home, or you know, mm-hmm. a common home, and I found a job there. And the reason we moved, Dad had a potential of getting a job working for the Potlatch Corporation, which was a logging concern that made chips and all kinds of things. It's a big concern here in the Northwest. And I kind of lost my train of thought there.
That's okay. We moved to Lewiston, and then life kind of seemed to be
back to normal.
Whatever normal might be, it was kind of, I guess it was regular. Dad eventually started driving a chip truck, and he did that for years, and he works some jobs as for dentist mm-hmm. and orthodontist. And mm-hmm. I guess, is there anything kind of in that time frame from the time we moved till maybe Kim and I left the house and went off to college and stuff like mm-hmm. that really stands out to you?
No, it's a busy time. I'd taken a job, which I hadn't worked for several years. But after your kids both left, and we were so young when we had our family, we were still, Dad and I were like in our early 40s.
We were out of the house, basically.
Right? I had an empty nest. Well, let's see. Anyhow, so then it was just Dad and I, and then we got involved, and he worked for the same chip company for 31 years before he died. So that was his life, pretty much, as far as work. And then, like you said, I worked for a couple of doctors, a dentist and an orthodontist for 26 years combined. And then, I don't know where all those years go.
Well, there was something pretty major that happened in the 80s and mid-80s. You ended up contracting cancer, and you're a cancer survivor. Can you tell us about that a little bit, or tell me about that?
Yes. 1983, I discovered I was having problems with one of my breasts. Took us a while to find out that it was cancer. Doctors where I lived said it wasn't, and I knew that there was something wrong. So my daughter and I went off to Seattle, and they kept saying also that it was iffy. I don't know why. It wasn't a round nodule or anything. It was more of a strip under my breast. But there was a new doctor that had came to Lewiston, and she was a specialist with breast cancer. So we ended up getting an appointment with her, and she said she thought there was something there. And so she did a biopsy, and sure enough, there were, and there was. And so I ended up having surgery and had my breast removed. And then I did radiation and chemotherapy, like most ladies have to today. Not so much. They've got so much new treatment, I've heard, that it's not as quite as invasive as some of it that they used to do. But I survived that. Been 21 years survivor.
Yeah, it's 80. It's probably more like 30.
No, it's 21 years. 1983.
Yeah. 20 years would be 2003. I think it's a little longer than that, but that's okay.
Well,
you beat it and good. It hasn't had any reoccurrence.
Thankful for that.
I remember when that happened. Did you say 83 or was it 9? It was in.
I thought it was 83. No, I'm saying
93.
I'm sorry. It was 1998.
90.
Yeah. It's 2 years before Neil Dad had his aneurysm. So.
Yeah. And then, but I remember I wasn't living in Lewiston at the time. And nearby, I was living in southern Idaho, and that was a hard time.
Yeah.
So I remember, but proud of how you took it on and beat it. I know that was not an easy time.
A lot of support from your kids and family members. And it's real important to have that support.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned Dad passed away. He had an aneurysm, which eventually led to his death that happened in 1998. Was that so been hard because you and he had been together since you were teenagers?
Yeah. It was hard, and it really, well, it disabled him. He had to quit work, but he was fortunate. It was what kind of aneurysm? Anyhow,
aortic aneurysm.
Aortic aneurysm, which the doctors told us usually 99% of the people that have them die from it.
As soon as it happens.
But it disabled him, and then he was sick until he passed 10 years later.
Mm-hmm. 2008.
Yeah. I mean, sick meaning caused many, many things.
What's it been like not having Dad around for the last 12 years or so?
I have to admit, the first year I was in a fog because I'd taken care of him for about 10 years and he had had several other surgeries in between. So the first year, I don't know if that's the way I started healing, meaning healing emotionally. I missed him, but I think I missed the work that it took, you know, taking care of him, going to the doctor and worrying about
the caring.
The caring, yeah. And which I'm thankful I was able to do it. But anyhow, it's the companionship. You miss that so much. And every lady I've talked to has lost her husband says the same thing. It's not having that person next to you that had been for all those years.
Not having your partner around.
Yeah. Not having
lived most of your life.
Yeah.
Well, you said that you miss the caring. I don't know that I've ever heard you say that before, but that's one word that would really describe you is a caring person.
Yeah, I was, and I was meant to take care of him. I think God made it for me to take care of him. I'd taken care of his mom, or he and I had, for 10 years before she died. So, and I think some people are kind of meant to be around for those times.
Be around for the other, for others that need. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, but it's still hard. I still miss him.
Sorry, gets me a little bit. You'll be 81 years old next month. When you look back on your life and coming from pretty humble beginnings and really, you know, you can survive a lot of things, health-wise, you know, family difficulties, losing loved ones. When you look back, what do you think of your life? What is your...
It was pretty full, pretty trying at times. But I was blessed having our two children, though Dad and I like we say, we were from poor folks. Both our kids worked themselves through college with their own means. They earned grants and so forth. And one of them, my daughter's, she's retired this year. She was a professor at the U of I, University of Idaho, and my son's an engineer. Oh, and then my granddaughters, we've been blessed with our kids getting education, which Dad and I didn't have. That makes such a difference. And I'm so thankful that that has happened. And it was their doing, as far as they're paying their way and so forth. So very proud of that.
You know, your caring had a lot to do with that. If we didn't have that care and support, I don't think either of us would have been able to accomplish what you just described.
Well, that's part of being a family, you know, caring for each other and supporting each other in all kinds of ways. And
now you have 5 grandkids and two
great grandchildren. Our family's pretty small. Everybody's not having a bunch of kids. I just wanted to.
We don't have the big family tree like some families do, like, but we're doing.
We're expanding, so. But so that pretty much, and I would hope that I would leave my family with faith in God and love and respect and appreciation of affection for our family. That would be a good legacy for me if that would happen. And it is.
Well, let's just maybe think about something current right now. We're living in a kind of a, maybe hopefully once in a lifetime. Some people have lived in through a couple pandemic that has changed our lives, changed your life a lot, even though. What's it been like living in the middle of a pandemic as a senior?
It's been hard being separated from family because I immediately, well, not immediately, but as soon as it started seeing how bad it was, I went in lockdown pretty much, so I haven't been able to see my grandbabies as much as I'd like. I think I've seen my newest great grandbaby, little boy, one time. We did a separation thing so I could do that. And just looking at everybody seems to be so sad, not just our family. Our family survived pretty well, but the nation overall has been very upsetting to watch, you know, what's happening. And but the pandemic itself, it's affected everyone. It's not just our family. And a lot of sad stories.
I know we used to do breakfast once a week. I'd try and come over and visit, and you know, we're doing the interview now, but by and large, I haven't been able to do that. So you haven't been able to take care of me.
I know, breakfast. I've been missing that. Yeah, it's been real, been hard, but like I say, it's affected everybody. Just like me, I happen to be away from her work. And
I think the one thing that, I mean, it's not just, like you said, our family's not unique, but family is so important, especially you at this time of your life. Or, you know, don't have dad and have to be alone, not being able to get together. And
I miss the hugs.
Yeah, the hugs and the kisses. And and it's, and I know it's hard because, yes, you're, you know, Keesling, my granddaughter, your great granddaughter, and Gunnar, their great grandson. They're growing up fast, and you're having to see them through pictures and videos versus firsthand.
That's great that I can have the videos and so forth. It keeps me up on them. See how they grow.
Yeah.
So fast. So.
Well, is there anything that you have that you wanted to share that maybe we didn't touch on? Or?
Well, there's a lot I could, but I right now can't remember much.
Mia, is there anything, 5 minutes, is there anything that we've mentioned that you might want to follow up on, or is there any questions that we haven't touched on that might be interesting to share in the last 5 minutes?
Yeah, well, it sounds like you have a pretty big, loving, wonderful family. Maybe, Claudette, you want to talk a little bit about something that you love about your kids and something you love about each of your grandkids and your great-grandkids, just to have that all on record.
Well, my kids, like I say, they've always been very supportive of me and helped me and their dad when he was alive. They would be, as you probably learned, we had quite a bit of medical problems, lots of hospitals, and my children were there. Either one or both of them, or one of them would be there. And I had lots of compliments from the hospital staff of how caring my kids were to watch over me like they did. And the grandkids, of course, they make you laugh. Our one little granddaughter that's going to be three.
Great-granddaughter.
She is a hoot. She keeps everybody laughing. She's so busy and she loves life, and she calls me Gigi, and she'll talk to me on the phone, and so I do have that contact with her. And of course, little Gunner, he's doing is breastfeeding and sleeping right now, so don't see much
he's
of him.
He's just a few months old right now.
Yeah, so. He's just 2 months old. So.
But think that you have Philip, Jason, Jordan from Kim's side of the family, and then Shay and Devin, and they're all...
Yeah, they're all busy. Our daughter, Shay, who's Greg's daughter, my granddaughter Shay's Greg's daughter, she's a lawyer, and I've got two grandsons. They're still venturing what they want to do with their life, I think.
Well, Jace is pretty committed to trying to make it as a movie producer. Or some kind of film director, producer.
He's
doing pretty well.
He's in a field that I don't know about at all. So, and then my other grandson, he's more or less a builder. And so all of them, who did I miss?
Yeah, well, Philip is a
contractor.
Philip is working as a contractor now.
Yeah.
He's also been a chef of sorts.
Oh, yeah.
And Devin's my son is a, he works at the university in their recording for classes and has been studying. And then, of course, Jordan is
interviews this morning with Colorado Springs. She's a medical...
Library science.
1 minute. And so we're hoping she finds a job. She just got out of college. And it's not easy right now, I guess, but she's interviewing, so that's good.
Well, they all cherish their grandma.
I'm very proud of all my family. They're, again, very thankful, because sometimes people don't have it like I do.
Some people don't have family that's
around
and nearby and that
caring.
Come and stuff. But well, Mom, I appreciate you sharing. I think I learned some things about you that I didn't know.
No.
And that that's part of why we wanted to do this. And I just, I love you. And I know that I wouldn't, good or bad, I wouldn't be who I am today without you. I'm definitely proud of you, and I love you, and I appreciate all you've done and all the love and care you've given me. So
thank you.
Yeah, we're done.